It's going to be a long sermon, but no, not really. I want to thank Pastor Nate, who's not here, but he coached me and provided great material for today's message. I also want to thank Eric Balk, who did the wonderful PowerPoint that you're going to see behind me. That I can't read up there, but that's okay. That's not important. He gave me the printed text. Also, let me comment that after the service, I'll be in the back, and I will have the sign-up sheet for the men's weekend. This coming weekend starts this Friday at dinner. And for the men's, the theme is going to be discipleship, which is great at Camp of the Woods. Also, I'd like to comment that the boxes for the Samaritan's Purse are in the back. You can pick these up. And Sally says they're due November 11th. November 11th, so they have to be back. You can pick them up and start filling them. And we've had some great stories about how the Lord has used these boxes. Also, we're talking about prayer. And after the service, Chuck and Kelly Toogood will be up front here. And they'll be here to pray with you. So I wanted to say it's great to be back. I guess I wasn't too long last time because I believe in the 10th Beatitude. It says, blessed are the brief, for they'll be invited back. And so that's good. I'm glad I'm back. But today, as you might note, both in the bulletin and what we've prayed, is about the Lord's Prayer. And It's appropriate that we pray this because today is the Global Day of Prayer for America. And according to the website, now it's going to end in a few minutes. It's going to end at 10 o'clock. But according to the website, 110 million people have signed up from around the world that are praying. And they started at 7 this morning and went till 10. And I just learned about this on Thursday. And found out about it. It's kind of interesting. I went on the website this morning, and Randy will get a kick out of this. Randy, it only took me 10 minutes to find the website and to get on it. And sometimes I was watching the website like this, and then sometimes I was like that. It was quite an adventure, but I got to hear people pray from Indonesia, Malaysia, Japan, South Korea, Mongolia. That was the first for me, Mongolia, Germany, Kenya, United States, and I'm sure there's other people praying right now. But prayer is such a great aspect of returning our country to the Lord, and it's vital. So I tried to join it this morning. I got on a little bit, and it was fascinating. When I think about the topic of prayer, I remember the story about the lady who bought a parrot from a sailor. And she brought the parrot home and puts the parrot in the cage, and all of a sudden the parrot lets loose. Wah! Let's neck. And the lady was horrified. So she wanted to know what the parrot was saying. The parrot just goes, wah! Let's neck. Well, she's terrified. This is a terrible thing. That all this parrot says is, let's neck. Well, wouldn't you know, her pastor comes by and visits, and the pastor walks in, and the parrot goes, wow, let's neck. And the pastor says to her, that's quite the bird you got there. And she says, it's just terrible. She says, he says, but don't worry. He says, I have a parrot too, and my parrot only knows two words, and that's, let's pray. He says, I will bring my parrot over. It'll be a good influence on your parrot. And so he brings the parrot over, and he opened the cage, and he puts his parrot inside, and his parrot goes, wow, let's pray. The lady's parrot goes, wow, let's neck. At which point the pastor's parrot goes, ah, my prayer's been answered. My prayer's been answered. So hopefully this message, and again, I'm really sharing. I'm not much of a preacher, but I'll just share what goes. And we talk about prayer, and God calls us to pray, and it's a great privilege. We've sang some songs about it, but let's go to the Lord now in prayer one more time. Lord God, we just come before you because we have to. We need your prayer. We need to pray to you. We need your instruction. And thank you, dear God, that you're with us. Thank you that you hear our prayers. And thank you now for this time together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So my material and for my sharing, like I said, comes from Pastor Nate. There's books back there. The book on the Lord's Prayer is an excellent text. And so I got my comments and what I'm going to present from the commentaries, the Bible, and some of my own personal experiences. And as we take a look at prayer, I want to go forward to we started with the Lord is my shepherd, and that was where we started it. The Lord is my shepherd, and David prayed that prayer 1,000 years before Christ. 1,000 years. It was a very personal prayer, and he talked about the Lord. The Psalms are just loaded with David's prayers, and very, very personal for David. Then Jonah prayed. And he was swallowed by the fish. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. I love that. The Lord, his God. He prayed to this personal God of his from the belly of a fish. Not exactly a great place to pray. I'm very thankful I'm here and can pray here. And that was about 750 to 800 years before Christ came. King Darius, in Daniel's time with the Babylonian captivity, he said, no one can pray to anyone but me. And then Daniel knew that the document had been signed. He went to his house, had his windows open, his upper chamber, and he prayed toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed before his God. Pray before his God as he had done previously, and he gave thanks. And that was 570 years before Christ. And I love that how he says he gave thanks before his God. So it was a personal God he was praying to. And a little more recently, we can read that from the Apostle Paul, which was a mere 2,000 years ago. He also was personal, and he said, I thank my God for all remembrances of you. And he prayed that regarding the people in Philippi. So now we have Jesus' instructions and his expectations on prayer. And that's what I'd like to just share. And the first thought is if you turn to Matthew 6, and you can see it right there in verses 5 and 7, or in Luke, also part of the Lord's Prayer, he makes this comment. He says, when you pray. He says, when you pray. So there's an expectation there. He expects that. He expects us to pray. And that is a spiritual discipline that he comes and he shares with us. He says, when you pray. And when you pray. And Max Lucado, he says that there's 4 godly habits that I think are really great. He mentioned the first one, which is prayer. Prayer, first godly habit. Reading the Bible, 2. Giving, 3. And the fellowship, 4. Quite honestly, a lot of times in our churches, we kind of get that reversed. But in all honesty, we need to pray more. Pray more. And then Jesus gives us instructions in the Lord's Prayer. And he says it's a model. And if you look at it carefully, you notice it's a brief model. It's very, very interesting. And this model that he uses, he says like this, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. He starts out, pray then like this. And he breaks the prayer into 2 parts. He starts with the first part, which is three petitions, and it's all on God. It's all about God, and it emphasizes God. And he says, when you pray, then pray like this: Our Father in heaven. So we have God's spiritual address, and I have to just share that sometimes when I pray, I got to admit that God just seems so far away. It's just like, it's so hard. And I struggle with that. But the issue there, as I say, is our Father in heaven. That's a spiritual situation. God is spiritual. And I have to understand, I'm coming to him in a spirit. And while he may seem far away, and the spirit world seems so far away from my physical world, he's still there. He is still there. I know he's there. And so he says, our Father, which art in heaven, is I know God's there. And many times when you hear about the study of the Lord's Prayer, the emphasis is on Father. But I want to start instead with the word are. Because the word are is special, because it makes God our prayer. Our God. We read about other people. The Lord, he prayed to the Lord, his God. Jonah did. And the Apostle Paul said, I pray to my God, you know. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. So when we say our Father, it's basically all of us being related. We're all related, but now we have this possession. We take ownership in this God, and this God takes ownership in us. And that's great. That adds a whole aspect to prayer, and it also makes prayer part of worship. And it should be considered family speech. Now, you may be in your inner room. You may be quiet, alone. This is your secret place where you're praying. That may be what you're all about, and that may be where God has you praying. But he still is our God. He's our God. He's the God for everybody here who believes, and he's our God being my personal God. So it's family speech. It's not individualistic either. I can't say my God in heaven, and it can't be abstract. It can't say the Father. It can't be my Father or the Father. It's like this. I think it's very interesting that in the Old Testament, God is referred to as Father about 15 times. 15 times it says. However, in the New Testament, it's 245 times God is referred to as a Father. So the first petition, the prayer is broken into two parts, the God part and the human part. And the first petition in the God part is, Hallowed be your name. And that's giving God the glory and the honor and the praise he deserves. That's worship. That's adoration. So that's what he says. He said, we start out with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We know where you are. We know what this is about. And you get praise and glory and honor first and foremost. The second petition we pray is, Your kingdom come, your will be done. And that can be hard to pray sometimes, because there's ramifications of praying like that. And then it's on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying for the second petition, your kingdom to come, and your will, God, to be done. And the Lord's kingdom is his reign here on earth. That's what it's all about. And the kingdom is mentioned 162 times in the New Testament. We all know tons of verses about the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. So the kingdom is part of his reign here on earth, and that's important. And so the commentary about that, when we pray that, your kingdom come, your will be done. So we're saying, may your commandments be done, and may all that you desire for your creatures be done here on earth, as you are in heaven. So we're praying for the miracle of God's regenerating power and his redemptive grace. So how then should we pray in light of that kind of a prayer? If we're praying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, You know, if we're praying that, Lord, how are we supposed to live? And that's the hard part of praying the God section of this prayer, because it says, if we're going to pray that, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done, then we should be living obediently. We should be living outwardly. We should be living expectantly. Obediently is, he's calling us to shun evil. Obey his word. Obey God. Crawford LaRitz shared at camp, and I love one of his messages, and he shared, he gave his kids, when they were going off to college, a two-word message, a two-word advice. And he said, obey God. Obey God. Now that's worship. That's great. It's shunning evil. And there's times we have to obey God. We got things we have to turn off, things we shouldn't be looking at, all the stuff. You know, we have to obey God first and foremost. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that we have to obey God. Outwardly, we have to, you know, so our prayer emphasis and our life emphasis has to be obediently, and to live obediently, and we have to live outwardly. And that means we need to care about others and serve others. That's vital. We have to care about others and serve idols. We have to be God's vehicles here on earth. And when we come to doing that, do we do it perfectly? No chance. No chance. We're far from perfect. But when we pray that prayer, thy will be done, you know, we have to make an effort. We have to try. We have to work at it. And that's what God's calling us to do when he says that. That's how we're supposed to pray. No question about it. And the last part, besides living obediently, besides living outwardly, we're also called to live expectantly. And we have to expect the Holy Spirit to do some work. We have to expect him to come along and change lives. That means never, 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 never giving up on prayer. And what else can you say? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know I'd quote it, pray without ceasing. So that is what God is calling us to do. And that is a part of our worship to him in our praying. Vital. So what role does our church pray in this kingdom come? Your will be done. Well, according to the commentaries, and I can buy this, that the kingdom of God, his reign on earth, is involved with the church today, Christ's church today. Is it the exact same thing? No. Is it identical? No. Is it perfect? No. And the reason it's not perfect is because God's allowed imperfect people like us to be in this church. So it's not perfect, and it's not equal to God's kingdom, but it does overlap, and it does allow us to serve, and it does call us to serve. And it's vital that we understand that overlaps. It's part of the kingdom of God. This church is part of the kingdom of God, and that's vital, and we want to understand that. We have been reading this book by Alistair Begg in our 242 group, the Legacy group. And there's a passage in here that I just think is just so important to grasp and grasp the significance of. And I like to read it because it talks about what the church is. And in the 1920s, Lord Raith helped establish the BBC, which is the British Broadcasting Corporation. And then he ran it for a number of years after that. As the BBC began to get carried along in the tide of secularism that was swept through Britain in the 60s, a young producer stood up at a meeting and said to Lord Raith that the world was changing and that the BBC did not need to continue with its religious programming output. People were no longer interested in it, he said, and the church was becoming increasingly obsolete. Lord Raith stood up and told the young man, sit down. Take your seat. And then he said, the church will stand by the grave of the BBC. And that's a pretty profound statement. And by the way, you know what? He will. The church will be standing when the BBC and every other TV station, CNN, Fox, everything else, when they're all flushed, when they're all done, the church will still stand. The kingdom of God will stand with every organization and institution and empire meets its end. The church of Jesus Christ will be a part of that kingdom, and it's we're here on earth. Now, the second part of Jesus' instructions on prayer, okay, is the human part. I said the first part is the God-focused, and the second part is the human part. And he goes right there, and he and you read, and give us this day our daily bread, Matthew 11. Now, the bread represents our present needs, our physical needs, and what we have today. And the issue is that it is today. We couldn't necessarily be asking for, you know, oh, Lord, bless my retirement fund, bless this, bless all that stuff going out. It's wonderful if he does, but that's not what he's calling us to pray. He wants us to pray for our daily needs and think about that, our daily needs, and that's what bread represents. The second part there, and he says, and forgive us our debts. Okay, so that is the gospel. So God is, Jesus is getting right to the gospel, and forgive us our debts. As a pardon from our sin, past and present, and is what we need to have fellowship with God. And we need this forgiveness in order to have the fellowship that he wants us to have and to live the lives that he wants us to have. And then he goes to our third, the end part of that would be, as we also have forgiven our debtors. A very present need for us in order to have the relationship we need. We ask to ask God to forgive us. That sets the groundwork. That's the gospel. But we also have to forgive other people. The comment was made, the number one thing a marriage needs is not the word love, not the word faithfulness, not all these other things, but the word forgiveness. And I think that's so true. And we need to be able to forgive our debtors, those people who forgive, and that's important that we do that. Because without that, we can't have a good relationship with each other, and we certainly can't have the relationship God wants us to have. we think about what Jesus prayed in his priestly prayer that Joe Ciccarella taught us back in from John 17:21. And this is what it says. It says that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So forgiveness is a huge aspect of our witnessing to the world. It's huge that we do that. And it's important that, you know, we know that we're forgiven. We say, Lord, forgive us our debts, and we're going to forgive those who are indebted to us. So forgiveness is vital. Also part of the spiritual part of our prayer is the sixth petition. And it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is victory over the evil one. And this deals with our present and our future needs. Okay? We need that in order to have the kind of relationship that God wants us to have. We need to stay away from evil. We need to stay away from sin. And he calls us to that. And Jesus says, so it's a basic, simple prayer. When you think about how concise it is, okay, depends on the version. The Matthew version can be 52 words, or if you use the New King James version, that's about 66 words. The Lord's instruction on prayer, kind of concise. In Luke, we read Luke 11, that it's only 52 words. But Jesus gives us this. He provides his this to us so we can have instruction. And the last comment I like to make is that Jesus also provides his own Bible commentary on his prayer. And we read that in the Matthew 14 and 15. And get to that. And he provides and he explains what he means in verses 12 and 13. So if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And he's saying that because Jesus is telling us, you need to have a kind of relationship with my Father that the gospel represents. We ask him to forgive our debts. And that's the first phase of it. And forgiven people need to forgive others. And forgiven people do forgive others. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So having received this forgiveness, we will extend it to others. That's important. Those who forgive, those who are forgiven also forgive. Those who are unwilling to forgive have not become one with Christ, and who was willing to forgive, and he forgave even those who were crucifying him. So in looking at this and our sharing, praying is worship. Praying acknowledges that God's existence and his glory. We say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So that's acknowledging him and his existence and his glory. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, then we're submitting to God's plan and we're asking him to align us with him and to have that relationship and serve him. When we pray for our daily bread and our debts be forgiven, then we're asking for God's provision and his grace. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. And then prayer also commits us to do God's work. We forgive our debtors and lead us not in temptation so that we can get out. We can't be involved in sin and the like and have a life that pleases him. And that's important. What time is it? It's time to pray. And I'm thought about the story of a gal who, a pastor who got out of seminary, got involved in a church, had a good couple years there. Okay, church, things went well. But the Lord called him to another location, and he goes to another location. Things go well there, and the church is okay. But nothing special. And then the Lord calls him to a third location. Well, at this third location, things just took off. The church grew. They had more members. They grew in size. They got a bigger staff. And then one day, the pastor, as this is his ministry is exploding, the church is on fire for the Lord. All these good things are happening. He gets a call. And his secretary says, Pastor, you are needed at a hospital. She says, I know we have a pastoral staff that does hospital visits, but this lady needs to talk to you. She's adamant. She's been on my case. You've got to go to the hospital. So he goes to the hospital, and at the hospital, he walks in and he sees this lady laying there. And she says, oh, Pastor, thank you so much for coming. She says, I want you to know, I know I'm dying, this is the end, but I need you to do something for me. And he's thinking, oh, sure, yeah, whatever. And she says, I need you to replace me. And he's thinking, whoa, I need to replace her. He doesn't hardly recognize her. He doesn't know what ministry she's involved in. He doesn't know anything about her. And he's sitting there, and she's saying, oh, you've got to replace me. It's vital. And then he says, I know who she is. She's the lady that sits way up in the back in the balcony, and every Sunday she nods off while I'm preaching. She nods off. She's asleep. And he's thinking, that's who I need to replace her. And she says, oh, I can see from the look on your face you don't know. He goes, no, I don't know. He says, when we were candidating you and you came, I promised God I'd be up praying for you all night that your messages would be what you wanted to, that what God wants it to be, and that you would be powerful. And she said, it happened. Look at our church. It says, you've got to replace me. You've got to replace me. Pastor Nate talks about the elders of a very famous pastor that had the people. I think it was Sturgeon. They had the elders under the pulpit praying for him. Now that's not saying that we're going down to the clothing closet, guys, to pray for Nate under his. But really, when you think about what God called us to, He's called us to pray. He gave us the Lord's Prayer. And I just hope that there had been some influence as we look at the Lord's Prayer, as we think about what the Lord's Prayer is. Think about it. He's called us to pray. He said, it's not if you pray, but when you pray, pray like this. Talk to our Father. He's in heaven. His name is holy. You know, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Live like you really ought to live. Serve like you really ought to serve. Care like He cares for us so we can be the church of Jesus Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. So He asks us that. And then he says, we ask Him to forgive our debts as we also forgive others. And we ask Him not to lead us into evil, but that we can stay away from evil. Not an easy thing in today's world, but stay away from evil because that's the best way and the only way to have a good relationship with our Lord. So that's what He's called us to. So it's a time to pray. I'm just going to ask us all just to pray the Lord's Prayer again. Ken, can you put up that? Is it possible? Maybe not. To go back to that? Okay, we'll just go to it. Here we go. So we'll just pray it again. We'll do it slowly with our pauses, but just think about it as we pray to the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That last part, thine is the kingdom, that is in the New King James Version. It's kind of neat because we start with God, we get into our request, and then we end with His honor and His glory and His prayer and His praise for His honor and glory. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that Jesus was so instructive and so specific. And thank You for the neatness of Your Lord's Prayer. We thank You for that. In Your name, amen.